Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary saw Jesus on that very first Easter, they prostrated themselves and they worshiped him, holding on to his feet. Now, the 11 disciples are in Galilee, and they meet Jesus, and they worshiped him. That's a natural response. When you realize that Jesus, that the Jesus they knew was stronger than death. Our translation has it that some doubted. The Greek word can also be translated as some hesitated. Either or, whether they doubted like doubting Thomas, or whether they hesitated, or whether they simply didn't recognize him, some of them, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, we don't know. And quite frankly, to my way of thinking, it doesn't matter a whole lot. It's what the 11 do later that counts. What they do after Pentecost, that's what really matters. So whether some doubted and what exactly that means, I don't know. That's not really important. Not as important as other things that we've got to talk about. Now Jesus sets the stage for the disciples. In effect, he's telling them, in so many words, that he's different from the preacher and the healer that they knew so well. Because he says all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. It's a different Jesus. It's the same Jesus, but it's a different Jesus because this Jesus has died and rose from the dead by the power of the Father. And the Father has given all authority into his hands. He's received the fullest possible authority, for it is in heaven and it's on earth. And really what Jesus is doing is he's making it clear that any limitations throughout the incarnation, they no longer apply. His authority is supreme. Before, he was one of us, intentionally one of us. And where he could have used some authority, he didn't. Remember when he tells Pilate, I could have 10 legions of angels defending me? But he doesn't do it then, because it wasn't time. Now, that's different. Now, this, of course, has some consequences for those who were with him at the time and those who came later, like you and me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, he told his disciples. And he tells us, go, therefore, and make disciples. Something that's been near and dear to my heart for a long time. You know, many of you have heard me talk about Jeremiah 20, verse 9b. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And you've heard me talk about the disciples on the road to Emmaus when they invite Jesus to have supper with them, and he does, and he breaks the bread, and that's when they recognize him. And they hurry back to Jerusalem. But one of them says, did not our hearts burn within us while he was with us on the road? They don't mean heartburn. It means the burning that comes from the desire, the need to share the word of God. And what is the word of God? Well, Mr. Justin had it. God loves you. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the good word that we are to share. Christ is risen. He died for you, and now he is risen. Believe in the risen Lord. And this is what we tell people, whether they are disciples. Remember that children's song? I love to hear the story. I mean, these are things that I've been hearing, I guess, for well on near 70 years now. And I enjoy hearing them yet. And I know many of you, if not all of you, feel the same way I do. Or if you don't, you will when you get older. Some of us are still pretty young, I guess. You know how to notice how I include myself in that? On one hand, well, nigh 70 years. Oh, but we're still pretty young. That's that young heart, you know? The burning in the heart keeps it young, or something like that. Anyway, so what's a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, who studies the Word, who learns from Jesus, a student follower. Okay, that's us. There will never be a time when I know so much that I don't have more to learn. I could live to be hundreds of years old and I still wouldn't have that kind of knowledge. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't continue to study and follow Jesus, to walk beside him, to try to imitate him in the things that he did, the things that he would have me do in our time. Jesus' disciples are people for whom a life has been given in ransom. They're committed to Jesus' service. That was the 11. That's you and me. He taught his disciples. He died. He rose again. And his disciples are committed to him. I am committed to him. I suspect, I hope, I pray that all of you are as well. I know some of you are. No doubt about it. This is the kind of disciple that Jesus looks for his followers to make. You know, I wasn't a disciple when I first came to Ascension, way back when. I suppose I thought of myself as one, but I don't think I was. Maybe if I was feeling really charitable, I'd say I was. Now I am a disciple. What I was then, I'm not sure. A whole lot younger. I'm sure of that. But beyond that, I'm not sure. To make disciples of all nations, it's worldwide in scope. All people, everywhere. Those from all nations. There are no limitations. Our mission spans the globe. Not just Jews and Gentiles, but everyone. And we baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I invite you as you leave today, just dip your fingers in the font and make the sign of the cross on your chest or your forehead, wherever you're comfortable doing it, as a reminder of your baptism. You have been baptized. You are a child of God. And baptism has been part of church life from the very beginning of our church. Remember in the book of Apostles, I think it's in the second chapter, Peter is addressing a large crowd of people who think that the disciples are drunk because they're talking in tongues. And he tells them, they're not drunk. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit sent by that Jesus whom you crucified, but who has risen from the dead. And they said, well, what do we do? What should we do? Repent and be baptized. Right from the beginning, be baptized. You know, we have no knowledge, historically, of a time when baptism was not part of the church. And the conception of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is ancient as Christianity as well. In fact, it predates Christianity. No, Jesus is using the singular in the name of, not the names of, but the name of. One God, three persons, one God. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is pointing right there, I think, to the fact that the three are one in some way that, quite honestly, we don't understand. Now, when you think about some of the Bible stories that you've heard recently, for instance, Matthew 3, 16, 17, the baptism of Jesus, there's actually a Trinitarian formula there. The Father is speaking, "This is my Son," and the Holy Spirit descends on him, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Okay, that's the hard part. Do you like to obey? I don't. But I do it perfectly because my wife has trained me. So yeah, I get that part. It's still hard. You know, there are times when we slip. There are times when we fall. We stumble. But thanks to the grace of God, we get up again. And we continue on, trying to mend our ways as we go. And the thing is, by the way, it's not that we make a selection from the teachings of Jesus, those that we like, that are most pleasing to us. Jesus' teachings are all one. The entire package, so to speak. Now, if you want the short version, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can you do it? Can you obey Jesus? Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. By this they will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Can you do it? Yeah. Most of the time. Maybe all of the time. Maybe there are some people you would love better if they were farther away. But, you know, we try. The teachings of Jesus are a unified whole. And we're to obey all that this means. And then remember how he closes. And remember, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Not "I will be with you," but "I am with you." I am with you. He is with us now. Certainly from an eternal point of view. But Jesus is with us now. He's here. And he walks with us, with each one of us. You know, distinctions of now and then, here and there, they don't exist. Christ is with us always to the end of the age. We're not left to follow him as best we can on our own. Although sometimes as you watch some of us muddle through life, you might think that was the case, but it's not. We have a great companion as we go on our way through life. Jesus is present with us now. His presence is with us and among us to the end of time. Amen.